You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to another live broadcast of TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards. Great to be with you this Saturday evening. May the 1st, 5 months into this year. What? Are you kidding me already? Yes, here we are after 2 months of special programming. Here we are, and we hope that you enjoyed our special content, our March Around the World and Confederate History Month Showcase in March and April, respectively. Now here we are in the month of May, getting back to business as usual, if you will, and doing so in grand fashion, if I do say so myself. So tonight, we're going to be joined by the one and only Dr. F. Roger Devlin, and he's going to help us better understand the singles epidemic. So listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. At the end of February, I received an email from a gentleman by the name of James Dunphy, and Mr. Dunphy had written a true epic article entitled The Singles Epidemic, which was published by Countercurrents at the end of February. And I actually just posted that article or reposted it to my Twitter feed a couple of days ago, so check it out and you can follow along in real time. But anyway, Mr. Dunphy had asked us to, if we were interested, to cover his article and his thoughts on the program. The only problem was the timing of the receipt of his email. We had coming up the next week our ladies' night for Valentine's Day, and then, of course, the 2 months of special programming that we just made mention of. And so it has taken me up until this night to work it in, but we are working it in at the very first opportunity that we had available. I think you're going to enjoy the treatment that Keith Alexander and Roger Devlin give the singles epidemic. Later in the show, the editor-in-chief of Countercurrents himself, Dr. Greg Johnson, will be back as we shift our focus to current events. We're going to be talking about Biden's joint address to Congress this week and other pressing affairs of state. And then rounding out the show in the third hour, we've got a variety of topics to cover with a couple of different correspondents and contributors to this show. We hope by now everyone has received their special gift packages. If you donated to TPC during the month of March, which was our first quarter fundraising drive. And thank you so much for everyone who did that. Of course, we need you now more than ever, considering we are, of course, no longer able to process credit card donations online. So do keep us in mind and consider dropping a little something into our tip jar on occasion. If you enjoyed our Confederate History Month series, if you enjoyed our March Around the World, you can always send us a love offering to TPC. P.O. Box 34336, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is, of course, on our website as well. Please, please, please keep us in your thoughts and in your prayers because, as expected, without the ability to process online contributions, our contributions did, of course, go down quite a bit in April. Of course, that's not too surprising, considering that is not a active month during we are hosting one of our quarterly fundraisers. But nevertheless, we've got to be eternally vigilant about this. We got to stay on top of it, and so that's why I bring it to your attention. All of that being said, with announcements out of the way, really looking forward to tonight's show with you, Keith. Two great guests as we get back to covering the wider variety of issues that we're known for. And we'll be doing so with two of our favorites.
Well, of course, Roger Devlin has always been a favorite of mine. I think I put you in touch with his, I guess, magnus opus article, Sexual Power in Utopia, or Sexual Utopian Power. I always get that mixed up. I don't know which comes first, the utopia or the power.
Sexual Utopia in Power. And in that article actually was, I believe, turned into a turned into a book. I believe the book came from originally an article, but that book is...
Well, that was the chief article. He wrote several other related articles like Rotating Polyandry and its adherence and things like this, but they were all dealing with what has happened to white birth rates and what is the cause and how can we, and also male-female relationships in this generation. And, you know, this would be the millennial generation, because I believe this article came out maybe in the late 90s, maybe in the early 2000s. But nonetheless, it was the keynote of what's called the manosphere on the internet. People, males, basically complaining about how difficult it is to find a wife nowadays. And, of course, I guess there are women in our movement that have the same type of complaint. But for some reason, hookups aren't happening. And we have...
Well, actually, hookups, to use the modern parlance of our time, are happening. What's not happening is the stable raising of families and the pairing up in forms of marriage and so on and so forth.
Well, really, it's across the board. We have the incel problem, which would be I'm involuntarily celibate, and we know people like that in the movement. And because of that, that's a problem for some. Marriage is a problem for some. Having children is another problem. And are they all separate problems, or are they all related? That's one of the things we'll explore in our conversations with Roger Devlin later this hour.
Well, that's coming up, in fact, just minutes away, and we're excited about that. Greg Johnson talking about current events. We're going to talk about the police shooting of Anthony Brown Jr. This was the latest, greatest manifestation of supposed systemic racism that is supposedly ravaging the police forces across the country, according to, I love how Hunter Wallace puts this, Merrick Garland's Department of Social Justice. And... in this particular instance, the now deceased Anthony Brown Jr. had a rap sheet of 180 pages, a 180-page rap sheet. So as opposed to being a petty street criminal like George Floyd was, he was, in fact, I guess you could say, a professional criminal, a career criminal, and resisting arrest once again. Led him to being fatally shot by police in North Carolina. And, well, don't you know it, the media is going into overdrive to gin this up, to gin up more riots, more looting, more arson. The story stays the same, and you're always going to have examples of this because crime is so prevalent, and the disobedience towards officers is so prevalent in this particular community. And so you're going to have these unfortunate situations sometimes. And, well, never let a crisis go to waste or gin up a crisis. This shouldn't even be a story. Always regrettable, I guess, when someone wastes their life and has a life that is really so worthless to just be a criminal. And then, but to use this life as to become some sort of a saint in this new religion or some martyr, it's regrettable. We never like to see anyone die or anyone throw their life away, but don't commit crime, don't resist arrest, and your odds of surviving or even having an encounter with the police certainly go down quite a bit. Well, we'll be talking with Greg Johnson about that in depth.
We'll see. Black lives don't matter. That's the big message that we should get, because the vast majority of blacks that are prematurely killed off are killed off by other blacks. Those don't count. Only when a white person is the killer is it a celebrated cause.
Well, folks, and one more thing I want to say, speaking of how well-received our March Around the World was a couple of months ago, we're going to continue to have great international guests. And in fact, before this month is over, you'll hear from two more who were not featured in our March Around the World and, in fact, have not yet even made appearances on this show despite their incredible portfolio. We'll be back.
Regrets? Oh, we're all going to have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're going to wish you'd done something differently. You know, the... woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
I have a question. Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Strange, who could forget that little ditty by Mickey and Sylvia back in the 60s? Well, it is an important topic, that is for sure. And coming back to the program this hour is our longtime friend, Dr. F. Roger Devlin. He is the author of Sexual Utopia and Power, and he's going to help us better understand the singles epidemic. So this was an article that we made mention of in the previous segment, the opening segment tonight, written by James Dunphy and published by Counter Currents. And I sent it over to Roger earlier this week and was pleasantly surprised to see how well-received it was by Roger. Not that I expected it not to receive a good reception, but the fact that Roger, in his exact words, said, hell of a piece. He thought he would probably be privy to all of the information that was put forth by the author, but it was something that Roger, who this is certainly an area of his expertise, was something really able to sink his teeth into. And with that being said, Roger, welcome back.
Hi, glad to be here, James.
Always important to talk to you about this particular issue because it is something that affects the very survival of our people.
Oh, yes.
And it's something that you really can't talk about enough. And so the singles epidemic, half of all millennials are single. They are the loneliest generation ever. They are also on pace to be the most unsuccessful at forming families. That's a problem. To solve it, we need to first understand it. So, Roger, how do we do that? Take us into this article and tell us your general takeaways and set the table for what will be a discussion for the rest of this hour.
Sure. Well, the article covers a lot of subjects, and that's appropriate because the singles epidemic doesn't have just, you know, one big cause. It's got a lot of causes, and this article throws up some surprises. Let me just give one example. This is not the most important aspect of the article, but it's something that surprised me, and gives you an idea of how broad the author's range is. He discusses a chemical called bisphenol A, which is in a lot of plastics that we use nowadays, including water bottles. And it acts in the body, it mimics the behavior of estrogen. Now, one of the things that I think this is an established fact, that within the last generation, men have been getting lower in testosterone, less masculine in their behavior. I think even sperm counts are down. And one aspect of this is apparently environmental pollutants. You know, we've made radical changes to the way we eat and drink in just the last 50 years or so, eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of, you know, everything has to come in a package or sometimes a package inside a package. And so, you know, we're being influenced by chemicals whose effects we don't fully understand. And that was one of the aspects of the article that I found particularly interesting because it was totally new to me. So there are a few things that the author doesn't discuss. He doesn't discuss the divorce regime, for example, which I've emphasized, particularly in reviews of Stephen Baskerville's work. A lot, you know, word gets out, and young men hear from older men who have been put through the ringer in divorce court how awful it is and how they can have, you know, most of their income taken away from them. Some end up in jail because they're unable to pay their child support. You know, these jailing fathers, it's become like a revived version of the debtor's prison that they used to have, you know, throw you in jail if you owed somebody money, which doesn't make much sense because, of course, when you're in jail, you can't earn any money to pay your debts, right? But we've gone back to that through the mechanism of divorce court. Now, what the author does talk about at great length is the economic aspect of the singles epidemic, which he considers to be the most important aspect. There are, you know, the upper body strength of men and other male, traditional male advantages in the world of work have diminished, so that women apparently can pretty well compete equally with men on, you know, more than 4 out of 5 jobs, independently of law. I'm just talking about the jobs themselves, you know. Most people work sitting down at a desk. Women can do that. A lot of things women can even do better. A lot of modern jobs involve multitasking, which women are just naturally better at. So women are, you know, for that reason, as much as for, you know, feminism and equal pay legislation, women are earning more money. Now, the problem, nothing wrong with women earning more money per se, but women are, you know, by nature, their sex drive is oriented toward finding a man who can be a good provider. And the feminists, of course, predicted that that women would be less materialistic once they started earning more money themselves, but that's not what happened, because the drive to find a man as a provider is natural. It's not rational. Rationally, a woman who's making good money, you know, should be perfectly happy to marry a poor man because she, you know, she doesn't need the money, right? She can raise a child on her own money. But, of course, they're not willing to do this. Like, as I've written, a woman who's making $100,000 is only willing to consider some guy who's making, you know, $150,000 or $200,000 because she can only see him as a provider. So as women's material circumstances have improved, the number of men who are attractive to them, sexually attractive to them, diminishes. And so you get, you get a whole bunch of women going after a small number of high-earning guys, and a bunch of, you know, millennial men who are making less than their fathers, and they're really out of the sex game. You know, women are not sending them messages on dating sites. They're just invisible to women, and that's what this author, I guess, emphasizes the most. So we got women earning more. We got men earning less. Young men today are earning like 20% less than their fathers did a generation ago. One of the distortions in our economy is that it seems to be arranged to benefit older people at the expense of the young right now. Geez, where do you want to go with this? There's so many ideas we could talk about. That's just a few of them.
Keith, Roger. Actually, let's bring Keith in for a second. Roger,
yeah.
Excellent broad stroke treatment on that.
Yeah.
Keith, just a minute before the break, take it away. We'll continue this. As Roger said, a lot of places we're going to go.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Roger, yeah, this is, you know, this thing has a lot of layers. It's like an onion. First of all, we've got people, whites, and we're talking about the white birth right now here.
Mainly, primarily.
Yeah. They're having trouble hooking up, okay, having sex at all. One,
yes,
that's a big problem.
Yes.
We talk about the incel problem in right-wing circles.
Yeah. Right.
Then you have problems marrying for the reasons that you were talking about. That's one of the reasons. There are other reasons. One is that these males aren't traditional males and therefore aren't attractive to traditional women in a lot of ways. Another thing is that money talks and BS walks, as they say, and if you women insist on having the best of both worlds. They want all the opportunities of the new regime for them as women, but they also want what they had in the old regime, which was a man who out-earned and out-prestiged them, okay?
Yes.
And then you've got the next problem, which is having children. You know, if you can be married, you can have sex, but if you don't have children, we're not addressing the problem. So we'll get into all these things after these words from our sponsors.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An Arizona murder suspect who escaped from deputies Thursday morning in Atlanta, Georgia at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport is back in custody after being spotted by a television news reporter. Jason Carlos Strover was seen by Channel 2 Action News dipping into some bushes in the College Park area. They called police and Strover was quickly surrounded and taken into custody. Mr. Strover was being transported to Phoenix to face a murder charge when he escaped. The New York Police Department is reporting an out-of-control driver fatally struck a man on a scooter before plowing into an outdoor dining setup in Queens, New York on Thursday night. The incident ended up at Peruvian restaurant Rosa Toro on 35th Street. A 60-year-old woman struck the man on the scooter and dragged him under the car for some distance. As the NFL draft continues, the first pick on Thursday went to Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He'll be on the Jacksonville Jaguars roster this year. USA Radio News.
It's totally normal to be constipated with belly pain, straining, and bloating again and again.
No way.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives to help relieve belly pain and let you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor today. You may be able to save on Linzess and make fewer trips to the pharmacy. See if you're eligible to pay as little as $30 for 90 days. Visit Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
More signs the pandemic is winding down in America. Tim Berg reports.
More than a year after many in the United States were forced into lockdowns by the pandemic, Americans are taking to the road again, whether returning to work or taking long-delayed vacations. But travel plans could be disrupted in the months ahead due to a possibility of gasoline shortages. There's an abundant supply of petroleum, but according to one trade group, almost a quarter of the country's tanker trucks are currently idled because there's no one to put behind the wheel.
Last year during the pandemic, many of the drivers retired or they went to different industries, and that created a shortage.
Janet McGee, AAA's Director of External Communications, speaking there on ABC's Good Morning America. McGee, as far as what you can expect when you hit the open road?
What we're looking at is the summer in terms of it's happening most likely in spots that are very popular in terms of travel destinations for the summer. So beaches, so mountains.
USA Radio News.
And the mirror's reflection, I'm a dancing all with myself. And when there's no one else inside, I think the crowd and lonely night. Well, I wait so long for my love vibration, and I'm dancing all with myself. I'm dancing all with myself. I'm dancing all with myself. When there's nothing to lose and there's nothing to prove, I'm dancing all with myself.
Maybe Billy Idol was onto something back in the 80s. We are talking about the problem. Too many of our people now dancing with themselves instead of pairing up with others. And we're talking about this article that was written by Counter Currents contributor James Dunphy back in February, which is the time he asked me to give it a treatment on this program. And I'm glad that he did. This has been the first night we had the opportunity to work it in. And we're calling in the heavy hitter, Roger Devlin, to help us do that. And what an excellent job Roger has done so far in that. I want to read one statistic here, toss it over to Keith, and then back from Keith to our featured guest of the hour, the great Roger Devlin. And he writes in this, I'm reading from the piece, these are alarming, very disturbing statistics here. Only 10% of women in the silent generation never had kids. It looks like 15% of Generation X women never will.
And okay,
shockingly, though, Keith, it looks like one out of three millennial women will never have a child. And then this gets down to an issue of civilizational importance. If you are not reproducing, if you're not having children, you don't exist as a people and as a civilization. That's how critical, how important this topic is. And that's why we're talking about it tonight with Roger Devlin.
And the difference between the silent generation is they talked about, which was up to the boomers, it was like from the 30s until 1945, then 1946 to 1964 was the boomers. Those were just the old spinsters, okay? Why is there such a gulf now between that generation, which was considered to be not very fertile, and today's falling off the cliff lack of fertility of the millennial generation? You have to look at the effect of liberalism on all of this. No-fault divorce initiative, which I know the divorce epidemic is one of Roger's signature issues. That was a left-wing movement. That was just as much a left-wing movement as the civil rights movement or the feminist movement. Feminism, another one that has, back in the silent generation, you weren't dealing with expanding numbers of lesbians, for example. We have all of these liberal things which seem to be, driving people from traditional marriage. And of course, because it's traditional for men and women to fall in love, marry, and have children, all three of those factors are under attack by the left. That's, something I think that we can't overlook in this. Do you agree, Roger, the effect of left-wing cultural problems and consequential falling birth rates?
If you look at all the different things pushed by the left, this seems to be the common theme. It involves like thwarting reproduction, a number of different movements. The author of this article mentions that the incidence of lesbianism has increased. Lesbians used to be much less common than male homosexuals. Now they're said to be more common. There's also a phenomenon of lesbian until graduation. Have you heard about that? Young women declaring themselves lesbians.
Yeah, well, that's where you have this experimental phase that young women are going through now in their college years, and then, of course, sometimes they grow out of that. But
I've heard from the younger generation, Roger, is that don't trust this idea that a woman is a bisexual. If she's a bisexual, she's really a lesbian. But, maybe that's a good principle to follow.
I don't know.
Not
a lot of them claim to be bisexual now. Yeah. And another thing, that we haven't spoken about yet that gets a fair amount of space in this article is the effects of social media, which seem to be very maladapted to the female brain. The author makes the in my writings, I've talked about romance fiction as a sort of a female equivalent of pornography, but in this article, the author suggests that perhaps social sites, social dating sites, and Instagram function in somewhat the same way. A lot of what women want from men is attention, and you know, with their Instagram and Tinder accounts, they can get a lot of attention from a lot of different men without actually interacting with them, without actually getting to know anybody. It's all, you know, it's all a virtual world, like pornography for men. And very few marriages result from dating sites. If you're looking for a mate, a man or a woman, you're better off meeting people in real life, meeting people through friends, through work, through family, than you are wasting your time on dating sites. But girls like to, you know, they like to post pictures. Some girls say they actually get a thrill out of posting pictures of themselves on the internet and getting likes, you know, from their friends. And that they can end up spinsters that way because they're giving up reality for a kind of fantasy. So it is like pornography.
It's surrogate sex, basically,
for women. For women who want attention. You know, there are different aspects to female sexuality. Partly they want a man with high resources. Partly, of course, they just want a good-looking man. And partly they just like male attention. And so the attention aspect of it is what's flattered by these social networking sites. And also, of course, there are lots of pictures of handsome guys that the average woman could never get into a permanent relationship with in real life, but you know, it's part of their fantasy world. They can seem to get attention from them and fantasize about them. So
let me say this in response to that.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. Women and men have different sexuality. That's one of the wonderful things that you bring out. And by the way, Roger is the king
radically
of the manosphere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Radically
and see,
different.
Women, men's natural carnal instincts are polygamous. Women's are hypergamous.
Yeah.
That's one
hypergamous.
Of the takeaways,
yeah,
I have from your... in other words, they maybe just want one at a time, but they're always looking to trade up. Men don't have,
yes,
a problem. You know, every 12-year-old boy imagines himself as Hugh Hefner having his own version of the Playboy Mansion, and he says, you
right,
know,
right, right.
Come on in, the water's fine. You know, if you if you're, yeah, an attractive woman, I want to add you to my harem.
Right,
so,
right.
So men definitely don't have that problem. Women have to deal with their unique carnal instincts, which are hypergamous. Mm. And unfortunately, that has been basically any financial disincentives for doing that from the woman's viewpoint were removed by the no-fault divorce initiative and no-fault,
right,
divorce. No-fault divorce basically says you can be a terrible wife, but you're a good mother, so you get to have the children, you get to have the house because you need that. Plus, you can move your new daddy-o into the house.
Right.
And this is what sends some men over the rails.
Men end up subsidizing their own cuckolding now through the divorce.
Exactly.
Course, you know, because they don't have to spend the money on the children. You can spend it on themselves and their lovers. So, yeah. So, let's get back to the social media. This is something I'm kind of, you know, when I go to the internet, I was raised on books, and I'm still book-oriented, and I still will, like, look for good long articles on sites like Countercurrents and Occidental Observer, but most people are not this way. The girls like to flash through 100 pictures of men in a minute, and one of the effects of social media is it sort of reduces attention span and makes people more oriented in like the pleasures of the moment, and I think this interacts in a harmful way with the female brain. The women get a lot of stimulation when they're on these sites, but of course, you know, it's not real. And the effects on younger women are probably much more powerful because, as I say, I was raised on books and came to the Internet when I was already mature, and so I still use the Internet as like a source of thoughtful articles, and there are plenty of them out there, like this wonderful James Dunphy article. But that's not what, you know, that's not what the young people are doing. They're looking for brief, shallow attention. The girls are looking for brief and shallow attention from lots of different guys that they're never going to meet. And they can get it. You know, guys will like the pictures of, you know, 100 average-looking girls on these dating sites.
Because we're polygamous.
But they never get to meet any of them. Yeah, right. So it in a way, in the realm of fantasy, the men get to be polygamous, and the women get to be hypergamous, to ignore 99% of the guys, concentrate on 1% of the guys that they can't even actually have a relationship with.
It's an artificial replacement for the healthy, time-proven standard of pairing
right.
up and having a family and continuing your line and continuing your name and continuing your very civilization and existence. Well, a very important article, ladies and gentlemen. We have it listed near the top of my Twitter feed tonight. Check it out. Read it. We're going to wrap it up with Roger Devlin in this next segment.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Every top girl, but she reckons the eyes seem to pass me by. Leave me dancing on with myself. So let's sink another drink, cause it'll give me time to think. If I had a chance, I'd have the one to dance, and I'll be dancing on with myself. We'll be right back.
one of the most critical issues that needs to be discussed that there possibly is. I think sometimes it's easier to talk about crime or immigration, but to solve a problem, as I stated before, you have to first understand it, and this is one of civilizational importance. And so we brought in the best of the best, Roger Devlin, to discuss this article, James Dunphy's The Singles Epidemic. And in it, and Roger's made mention of a few of these subtopics of his excellent piece and how the pairing up of couples that lead to the production of families has been disturbed by everything from plastics to birth control, divorce, delayed childbearing.
Liberalism.
You name it. Well, liberalism, yes, indeed. And, of course, women are happier under our review as well. See, you'll have these instances where you have a profile on some supposedly transgender child and how wonderful it is that they're expressing their true selves by taking these hormone blockers and having these horrible surgeries. But what they don't tell you is how they grow to regret it in so many cases later on. They don't have that follow-up.
And
they don't have it here either, Keith, where these women who go into cubicles and work as an office drone for their entire lives, how they feel later in life in many, many cases. They don't tell you that. And so we have to get back to healthy family. So we've talked about the problems, gentlemen. We've talked about it, Roger. We need to better understand this problem, but we also need to put forth before this time is up tonight. And we could have gone a full 3 hours with you, Roger, on this. Thankfully, you're a regular repeat guest, so we will have you back on in short order to talk more about it. But how do we get back to raising healthy families? We have to put forth solutions as well.
Well, what the author says is there are two ways. He talks about the harmful effects of hypergamy. Women can do as they please now, and so what they are pleased to do is made only with very highly attractive men, or else not made at all if they can't get a highly attractive man. Just sort of fantasize while ignoring the real men around them. And as the author says, there are two ways of preventing or going against this tendency, and one, which is the most pleasant, is to have an extremely prosperous economy, because women consciously or unconsciously tend to compare men with their fathers. And so if you have if you're in a country like China, for example, which has experienced extraordinary economic growth over the last 40 years or so, men are in a good position because the average young man is more prosperous than the girl's father, because the whole country is getting more prosperous. That's the way it was in early America, at the time we were, colonies, a colony, and in the 19th century, the economy was growing so fast that that women would feel like they were getting an upgrade when they went, from their father's house to their young husband's house. But of course, now we're living in a time of straitened circumstances. Millennial men are earning less than their fathers, about 20% less. And so, the average girl just will not consider, as the author says, what the women want is a young, handsome young man around their own age, but with the income of their fathers. And there just aren't a lot of guys like that. And of course, all the girls are throwing themselves at these few guys. As I've said over and over again in my own writings, this is the natural consequence of liberating female sexuality. A large number of women chasing after a small number of men. So society tends to become polygamous, in fact, de facto polygamy. It's not recognized in law, but, it occurs in the form of fornication. And the majority of men are left out. And this is something that still, men of the older generation do not understand. They think there's more sex for young men now because women have sex out of wedlock. There's actually, for most men, there's actually less sex. Well, anyway, the other way to counter female hypergamy, and this would be very difficult in our society, but that would be to prevent women from marrying men who have higher incomes than their fathers, which is it works in societies with arranged marriage. The author mentions India, India doesn't have a singles epidemic because most of the marriages are still arranged, and they're arranged within castes and subcastes so that women go, you know, with men who are more or less at the same economic level as their fathers. But with a shrinking economy, you know, the number of men that women are willing to consider shrinks. And so and for every girl who succeeds in dating hypergamously, who succeeds in getting like a rich young man, there's going to be another couple consisting of like an older rich woman and a man with no money, and they're not going to be attracted to, or the woman's not going to be attracted to the man, and those people are going to end up sterile. So, you know, the author is very candid about this. We either have to have rising prosperity, or we have to have some way of preventing hypergamous marriage and, you know, making women settle for men who are poorer. And that's going to be very difficult to do in a society as ridden with liberalism as ours. You know, women just assume that they're able, you know, they're allowed to do whatever they want, fornicate if they want.
All.
You know, right. And well, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Well, I there are other things.
It's a difficult solution.
Right, it is. Another thing is that men on the right have found that because of that hypergamous situation, that there are women from abroad that see American men as more prosperous than their homegrown talent.
And, yes, know, some go abroad, yeah.
You have Asians, you have Hispanics, you also have Eastern Europeans, of course.
Eastern Europe is a good place, they say, to look for a wife, you know. Ukraine,
I saw something on Russia today, which was really startling. Last night, some Japanese guy married his sex robot. And
right. And
talk about surrogate sex.
Emma Watson is self-partnered now, not single. Have you heard about that?
No,
sure that's going to do us a great deal of good.
Waste.
You know, changing the terminology from single to self-partnered is going to make everything much better, I'm sure.
Well, this guy was talking, having dinner and conversation with his robot.
I don't think that union's going to lead to any children, though. I don't think it's going to lead to children.
Did you see the article on American Renaissance recently? There is this site, WhiteDate.net, I think, now, that's advertised on American Renaissance.
We actually interviewed the proprietor.
And they got 12 men. They got 12 men signed up for every woman.
Well, that's
it's supposedly
that
the men who don't want to marry, who just want to love them and leave them, and the poor women are supposedly having their hearts broken because they want a marriage. But here's this very traditional site, and you know, four people who are oriented towards marriage and reproduction. It's 12-1 in favor of men.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's you know, on the other hand, some of these Eastern European sites, they have 12 women for every. From America that gets in touch with them. So, you know, it's really a bizarre situation. But let me just take you back to how liberalism has contributed to this.
And 2 minutes to go, gentlemen.
Brown versus Board of Education was the beginning of this problem. And the reason it was is because white people, conscientious white parents, knew that they could not send their children to these new integrated schools, so they had to send them to private schools, and of course that limits you because you can only afford, you know, paying nothing for educating your children versus paying something. They limited the number of children they had to the number of children they could afford to send to private school.
Oh, right.
So see, everything the left has done.
Well, I gotta say this too. I mean, that's key, and we're gonna do an extensive look at Brown versus Board on the ominous anniversary here in a couple of weeks. But I would like to give a parting shot to any guys out there, folks. Guys, you gotta get out. You gotta get out there, and you gotta get after. You gotta start chasing women. I mean, it's not just for your own enjoyment. It is for the procreation, the continuance of our
people. Well,
there
is a danger, though, James. You know, now men and women are thrown together in the workplace. Men mistake come hither looks for just regular friendliness, and you're liable to be fired for sexual harassment.
If we surrender to the apprehension we have about navigating the uncertain world of dating today, if we resign ourselves to staying at home and not going out and engaging in the fight to mate, then I guarantee we're going to lose.
Roger had the great answer to this. He said that males in all animal kingdom and all throughout, males display, females choose. You've just got to become very adept.
Well, and that was one of the big things in this article, Keith and Roger, that the author mentioned, again, James Dunphy's The Singles Epidemic, status, and the way that radical female egalitarianism, radical feminism has raised the status of women.
But then let me just give this a cautionary note, though, too. You know, Charles Manson was getting marriage proposals right up to the end. Women's carnal instincts aren't always that trustworthy.
Roger, we love you. Thank you so much for your work and your scholarship and for being with us today. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to host you.
Encourage people to read the article itself, The Singles Epidemic by James Dunphy, February 16th on Countercurrents. You can search for it.
Talk to you again soon, my friend. We're talking to Greg Johnson next.